Word on Today FM.
January is the month in which many couples decide if they've been experiencing difficulties to make a break of it, to separate or to get a divorce. So how do you do it in the best way possible? Michelle Brown is a divorce consultant, specialist family mediator and author of Scars of Divorce. And Michelle, I believe you've been there and you have the t-shirt.
Several. Hi, Matt. Yes, indeed, I have, which is what led me to write the book Scars of Divorce. Matt, and you're right, it doesn't need to be so difficult.
Because I want to ask you about how to do it with less cost and less stress. I'm not saying there'll be no cost and that there'll be no stress, because it is such a major emotional and financial trauma for people to go through. But surely there's a way to do it while trying to minimise those things.
There is. And that's, I suppose, what's really important, that when people make this awful decision, you know, in their lives to separate from their partner, to create new families, you know, that look differently, it's an awful time for people. So the idea that we need to take each other to court, which has been the traditional route in Ireland since the inception of divorce in Ireland more than 25 years ago, needs to change. So the information needs to be understood clearly.
If you do go to court, you're going to really increase your costs, aren't you? Because you're going to be paying solicitors and paying barristers.
The costs are eye-watering. So, yeah, look, depending upon, you know, whether we're in circuit court or high court, but the costs, regardless, are eye-watering. But I suppose, first of all, you know, we have been doing it a certain way. There are other options there. There are much more the government can do, but let's just, for a moment, I suppose, focus on what is there. One of the major improvements, I suppose, since the inception of divorce is the Mediation Act of 2017. The Mediation Act of 2017 allows for couples to create legally binding separation agreements outside of court. So it avoids the need for that courtroom battle. It avoids the need for each party to a divorce to take on a legal team. The main big difference is that you're using one person for the two parties, as opposed to each party having their own side and building cases against each other. That is what I would like to see change on the whole, that we don't automatically go to our own sides, build a case, which ultimately, Matt, is futile. We live in what's referred to in law as a no-fault state. So ultimately, what we're building is it's only causing more stress and anxiety for the individuals and their children.
Because if you each have a set of solicitors, that almost implies confrontation, trying to get one side getting a better deal than the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. You're building cases and you're slinging mud and you're rising the temperature. And whether your solicitor is lovely or not, it's a regardless. It's a system of building cases which inevitably causes conflict, and ultimately we're suffering, and without a shadow of a doubt, our children in the centre of it all are suffering. They're not what our focus is on when we're taking cases, because we are battling. You know, they're horrible places for criminals to have to go to, but as divorcees, we are not criminals. It is the wrong place for people who are, you know, generally devastated, their worlds have fallen apart. Or even if it was a slow burner and we saw it coming, regardless, it's the wrong place.
You mentioned children. There may not be children in a marriage. There may be children. Sure. The children may be adult, or the children may be dependent. Mm. But that is a major complicating factor, isn't it, in trying to provide for the children financially and even perhaps emotionally.
Yeah, look, you know, obviously the divorces without children involved can be more straightforward. I would still recommend that nobody needs to put themselves through that court case, whether or not they have children. But ultimately, working together with a mediator when you have children is imperative. Like, personally, I believe that it should be mandatory. The government should create a system whereby we must partake in mediation before, and it be a last a last resort to attend court with our spouses, that we must try everything to avoid that because we know it's causing so much damage.
Michelle, I want to talk about the financial aspects. And I mean, there are people in different financial positions at different times. Mm-hmm. I suspect for some people, it can be financially ruinous, not just the costs that are involved, but trying to untangle things like a mortgage, debts that might still be in place, and particularly now there may not be, there might be disparity in the income flows when a couple separates or divorces.
Yeah, look, that you know, our financial futures when we're going through a separation or divorce is by and large, our, you know, that and our children are our biggest concerns. So trying to decide what is fair and to deal with the family pot is extremely difficult. But heading to court with that doesn't make it any more difficult. You know, sitting down with somebody who's working for the two of you, getting a clear picture and trying to create an amicable agreement that it comes, that both parties come out of it in fairness. Yes, it's a huge task. You know, obviously the housing crisis, the difficulty around that is making it even harder for couples to separate. Look, it's the same story. But heading to court, enduring a court case and taking on high legal costs does not make it any easier. Sitting down and working together and making a plan over a period of time to suit yourselves, deciding that, yes, okay, this doesn't have to be done tomorrow, we can make a plan that will work for us, is by far the better option in how to deal with that. Like, there's another point to that, Matt, and is that we do not deal with prenuptial agreements in the family courts in Ireland. And that would prevent an awful lot of problems that arise in divorce.
In what way?
Only if we had prenuptial agreements that were recognised. Currently, we don't. So I suppose...
But why would they work better? What sort of would you put into a prenup? Because I presume for many people, they go into a marriage never expecting and certainly not hoping that it'll ever end.
Of course, and it's not very romantic, Matt, but the reality is that the demographics of people getting married have changed. There's plenty of people like myself in our 40s and have done it once or twice or might be prepared to do it again. And you're going into a relationship with perhaps an asset or two, or, you know, your circumstances are different than if you're with the same person from the time you were 20. So we need to go into it with our eyes open and say, you know, if the worst case happened, am I walking into a relationship with somebody blindly? You know, we are very, very reluctant to do that. The older we get, we understand that, you know, everything that we have is at risk if we get married to somebody and we break up and we haven't dealt with it in advance. So it is really, really important. If we had prenups that were recognised and we had mandatory mediation in Ireland, the court numbers would be reduced dramatically. That I have no shadow of a doubt about.
But is there not also a problem, though, at times that what happens is an agreement is reached and then the financial situation of one of the parties changes? And that can lead to an enormous amount of resentment afterwards, or a lot of rows as to whether somebody should be giving more or can't afford to give what they've already agreed to.
Do you mean after you've separated?
Yes, when you're divorced. So maybe three, 5 years after the divorce, things have changed. One person might meet a new partner who's loaded. Yeah. The other person might find that their own income has declined. And yet they find that they're bound by an agreement from different circumstances at the time they separated or divorced.
We are, we can go back with mediation or with maintenance applications at any point, Matt. So maintenance for our children is one thing that legislatively we can go back to the courts with if our circumstances change. So regardless of the split in a separation agreement, maintenance is something that we are at liberty to readdress at any point in the future. And that is for that very reason, as you described, should one party go off and have a new family and have different circumstances, or should another party lose their job or become ill or unable to work. That is why we have the ability to readdress maintenance into the future. So that is already there. But if you're asking the question, if somebody becomes much more well off than the other, there is a huge reluctance for the courts to reopen those cases.
Okay.
That's like an urban myth out there, to be honest, in my experience. And, you know, I would have...
Well, one final one, Michelle. Yeah, this is a listener question. Do the courts typically lean towards women as is the stereotype in divorces, in terms of who gets the children, who stays in the family home, who gets child support. It seems like divorce could ruin a man, says this listener.
And that must be a man who wrote that in, Matt. It's not.
I actually don't think it is, judging by previous text messages from that listener, but anyway.
Okay, but look, with regard to ruining, that's not the idea. The idea of the courts is that it's a fair split out of a marital pot. It would be my experience in mediation, certainly, that a fair agreement should be made. The assumption that children go with the mum, I think, is an outdated assumption, certainly in my experience. And I'm doing this full time for the past 5 years, but I would have experienced longer than that. But in my experience, no is the answer to that. With regard to maintenance and who pays maintenance is designed to go to the person who primarily cares for the children. So it's about, I suppose, fairness coming out of it. It's not designed for either party to become homeless. It's about taking a look at what there is and what a party can do, which is, to be honest with you, when you go into court, it's a very, very stressful situation. That's why I would much rather say to a couple, use somebody who's a neutral third party, get a suitably qualified mediator, and I would do anything other than go into court against that person, if at all possible. That's, you know, the key, I suppose, to find somebody to work for the two of you.
Michelle Brown, divorce consultant and author of Scars of Divorce, thank you for joining us. Some of your many messages that are coming into 0874 100 102. I've been trying to get divorced for 5 years. My ex's legal aid, he keeps asking for adjustments. He has taken a protection order, never even shown for court. My solicitor has issued motions to file his defence. It's costing a fortune, but there are no consequences for him. We have two children. He doesn't stick to access agreement. The system is a disgrace. Another one says, my divorce was finalised last summer. I couldn't agree more with your contributor. Very little acrimony and no contention, fully mediated, a wonderful private firm, but still an awful process. Even at that, though, we still needed to retain solicitors for pension orders, etc. The whole thing cost me about 8.5 grand, same for my ex, about the cheapest to be got, I would think. Can't imagine how anyone else copes with a nasty divorce process.
The Last Word on Today FM.